His church, the restoration. How would you explain that to somebody? How would we do that? Do we have any, and if pressed, how would we support that in Scripture? And we had a question at the ministers' conference. We've had it on our books for about 8 years, and Bob and I and Brother Sean took on that subject for the ministers' conference this year. And I was going to preach on that very subject in those very scriptures, and I never got to it. So, but it is on the same subject, and how would we support our beliefs in the restoration? So first of all, we believe in a restoration. I think you all know what that means. It means Christ Church restored. There's Protestants that talk about protesting. There's the Catholic that would claim that they were from the beginning. And then there's the restoration, restored, right? So how can you restore something unless it was given in the first place? And how can you restore something unless it was taken away?
I know.
So how is that possible unless we have some scriptures to back it up? Is there scripture support that very promise? And there is. As far as giving it, let's take a look at Matthew, the 16th through 19, and verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whosoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And he kind of repeats that same thing in chapter 18. It wasn't to one person. It wasn't to Peter, for instance. And Peter's very clear in his epistle that he was not that rock. It was Jesus Christ. But he gave the apostles the keys to the kingdom. And how important is that? They allowed, you know, I think Chris is probably watching, and this is from the Twilight Zone, and the man's looking for an entrance to heaven. And that was the wrong gate that he was at right there. And but he gave the apostles the ability to choose who was going to enter the church and who was not. And those are the keys. But he gave them the kingdom of God. Luke 22:29, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed me. So another verse, and there's others. Just one more I'll read, though. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, thereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So this kingdom he appointed to the apostles, he appointed the church, he gave them the keys to bind or not to bind on earth. And he said he would bind it on heaven. All right, so it was given. I think Al would agree to that. On apostasy. For to given and to be restored, it has to also be taken away, does it not? So we have to be able to support. In our theology, we have to be able to support an apostasy. And if you shove all those prophecies of the future, you don't have an apostasy. You do not prove the restoration. So you have to have whatever scriptures you have, you have to be able to support that there was an apostasy. And you're in good company there, because all the restoration, all of the Protestants would support that view. There was an apostasy. Every one of them. And I'll show you. I'll give you some proofs on that. But this is one they commonly shove to the future, and it's a prime one all Protestants used to prove that they were living during those those Protestant years, the founders. This is one of the key scriptures they would use. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 3. And I'll read some others, 7 and 8. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not so soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of the Christ is at hand. So the first this prior letter, I'll say the prior letter, Thessalonians, there might have been three, but the prior letter that he sent them, they got the idea that Christ was coming right immediately back. And he's telling them, it's not going to happen yet. There's something that has to happen first before Christ can return. That Christ is, and man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I think I stopped that. No man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come except to be a falling away first. That man of sin, the son of perdition. All right, so he's saying that person has to be revealed to you. The son of perdition, man of sin. There has to be a falling away first. There has to be an apostasy for Christ to return. For that mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who letteth until he be taken out of the way will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with his brightness of his coming. So we're not talking every Protestant out there, any founder, would tell you it's not a person, it's an office. Because it was going to take place soon after the church was the falling away. This man of sin would be revealed, right? And it would continue on that office until his coming, right? Second Nephi 12:13, and just to give you two more, but there's many scriptures on this. Yea, they have all gone out of the way; they have all been corrupted. Mormon 4:33-36 and 49-51. And I'm only going to read one verse here. And your churches, yea, every one, have become polluted because of the pride of their hearts. So I'm not talking about there are still saints left. Saints roam the earth. We're not saying that. But we're saying the church foundations were all corrupted according to God. According to Jesus Christ himself, said there would be a falling away, that man of sin would be revealed, and then there would be a restoration we're going to get to. Right? And virtually all reformers agree this man of sin was an office. All right? That's what the world believed to a man. Early Church of Christ. I regard these guys as brothers in the church, Church of Christ members. These writers I give you, certainly it was before we count the date that the apostasy had happened. And they went by the Church of Christ name. They went by the doctrine of the Church of Christ. They laid hands. They baptized in immersion. They had the gifts of the Spirit. They had all things. So they were considered the Church of Christ in 130-202 AD. All right. So they had some things to say about what scriptures they used. And they used the same ones we do, the same ones the Protestant used later on, thousands of years later. They used the same verses. And they said, John and Daniel have predicted the disillusion and desolation of the Roman Empire. So they're saying Daniel and John all predicted this. In Revelations and Daniel, they knew that Rome would fall. And then they'd be instrumental, these 10 kings shall destroy the Roman Empire. And then the Antichrist, they called him. It's not in the man of sin or whatever name you want to use. This Antichrist would arise after that. All right, jumping down there. 666, they used the same scriptures in Revelation 13. The division of the kingdom into 10. So it went from Rome into the 10 kingdoms. And then the man of sin, this Antichrist, would rise. And I'm not going to read all these, but I just want to show you. The early church members all understood what Paul was talking about. Every one of them. All right. Tertullian in the second 200 and something BC, or sorry, AD. For the mystery of iniquity is already working. Just what Paul said, right? Now he hinders, must hinder until he be taken out of the way. That is a Roman state. And to a man, they all, you know, you could look at that verse and say, well, maybe the Holy Ghost is hindering. But to a man, every one of them understood this was a Roman government. Every one of them. It was a Roman state. The Roman Empire. We have no desire then to be overtaken by these dire events. And in praying that we coming, the coming may be delayed, we are leading our aid to Rome's direction. You know, that's coming from the church. This Roman government was killing most of our apostles at the time. They killed most all of them off. And they were just rounding up our Christians, putting them into Colosseums and having the beasts kill them. And yet, the church is still praying for the duration of Rome. They're still wanting it to survive. Isn't that amazing? They're cheering Rome on, the killer of our brothers and sisters, because they knew what was coming was worse. It was a spiritual decline. It was the apostasy. And that was far worse than physical life to them. Okay, they're all saying the same thing. They knew the four, you know, the Daniel, they knew the Babylonians, the Medo-Pers, the Greeks and the Romans was that big beast. Even today, nobody would disagree with this right here. And I'm not going to get to Daniel. the four kingdoms they talk about are definitely, everybody agrees to that. So there's no discrepancy. And the ten toes that they're talking about, partly clay, partly iron, that's talked about in Daniel 2. And the ten horns, the little horn that crows up, that's Daniel 7 that he's talking about. That little horn was the Antichrist. They all believed it. They all knew it to be true. And this is before Rome ever breaks up. They knew he was coming. The next brother here, they knew it was coming near. Here we're in the 3rd century, in the 4th century. The city of Rome remains, and it appears nothing of this kind to be feared. So they knew it was even at the doors in the 4th century. They were looking at this. Civil of Jerusalem, the Roman Empire, the Antichrist will be the ten kings would rise up. That would be Europe. They all agreed that this Europe down here was the ten tribes would be that Europe, and then it would decimate Rome. There would be a little horn that stands up, and then it would be the Antichrist. And we're watching it unfold. 4th century. The 11th is the Antichrist. Okay? John. Now we're into the 5th century. Others, the Roman Empire. Okay? Only he that restraineth now until he be taken out of the way. That is, when Roman Empire is taken away, then he shall come. They all understood these things. They were watching it take place. We're familiar with this guy, Jerome. He's the one that put together the first Bible. And it talks about he was watching this unfold. All writers that when Rome is destroyed, the ten kings, which shall divide among them, and the 11th shall ride, the little king, and shall conquer these three kings, having slain them, seven others will submit their necks to the conqueror. In other words, the Antichrist, whatever you want to call him, man of sin, what John told us in 2 Thessalonians was going to take place. And they talk about Paul here. They all understood it. And they were watching for 30 years, barbarians burst through the Danube and fought the heart of the Roman Empire. They were about to take it over. And this is talking about 430 AD. This is just before the apostasy officially took place. And they were watching it take place. And they knew what it was, and they knew what was coming next. The problem is that once it happened, they didn't recognize it. And it's the same you're hearing out there now. You know, they're all talking about this prophecy that's at least 500 years old. They're talking about being 800 years old, and it came out of the Roman Catholic Church. And they're saying, and it's been in the Catholic circles. It was published by them. It's been, they believed it. When it actually takes place, this is supposed to be the Antichrist they're voting on right now. I don't know if it's true or not, but when it takes place, they've got to come up with a different reason. They will not believe it's the Antichrist. They will not. Just like the church here, our church did not believe when the Pope, Bishop of Rome, took power. When they took over the world, they didn't. They seen it coming, and then when it happened, that can't be us. It's the same now. It can't be him. It can't be. Despite them watching it take place over these 400 years, they're just watching it take place. It's going to happen. It's going to be happening. Oh, we must have misunderstood it. It can't be us. Only he who letteth will let. So they all understood this. But it's now at the door. And now it's taking over. And now, what do you do? Commentaries are all united on this. On Thessalonians. And there's other scriptures, but I don't want us to throw away Thessalonians. Every brother in the Church of Christ in early years knew what Thessalonians meant. They understood Paul. Thus it was after this manner, the emperor of Rome, he that letteth was taken out of the way, was the bishop of Rome advanced in his stead. They all knew this, all the commentaries back then. And I'm just going to give you one here. But they talk about sitting in the temple of, you know, this guy that's sitting in the temple, if you will. Sitting in the temple claiming he is God. They did that. He did that. The Pope did that. And I don't know if I have a picture here, but I'll show you in just a second how he did that. All right, the mother of harlots. We're going to jump to another scripture, Revelation 17:9, just to show you this can't be anything else. The mother of harlots, abomination of the earth, okay? It's called the abominable church in other places. Drunken with the blood of the saints. It has this earlier in chapter 17. So how are they? And this is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And this is the abominable church they're talking about in Revelation 13. And Daniel 7 and Daniel 2. This is the, in Daniel, Revelation 12. This is that church, the abominable church. It sits on seven mountains, right? Seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five have fallen, one is, and another is yet to come. And when he cometh, he might continue for a short space. That one that continued for a short space with those ten kingdoms. And it wasn't long that that little head took over those ten kings. The beast it was and is not, even he is the eighth. And in Revelation 13, it calls him a beast. It says he had a deadly head wound. And then this false prophet, yet in the future, will give him power again. This power that rose throughout those centuries, that was 1,260 years, that was the power in all of Europe, it will rise again. It will rise again. The beast goeth into perdition. So it was yet to take place at this time. This is written in 100 BC. It would take place some 500 years later. But the point I want to tell you about is past, present, and future, where their headquarters is at. It was a Jeopardy question. What is the set? And it talks later on in this chapter. It says the city, I'll probably have to turn to it. The city, it's talking about a city, but yet a government. As as I'm turning to that. All right, and the woman was, and the woman that thou sawest, this abominable church, right, is the great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. All right? So that seven-hilled city, it's in my Bible commentary right here. It says, the city of Rome was commonly known as the ancient times as the city of seven hills. And they will not deny this. It was a Jeopardy question over 10 times. And I was there watching Jeopardy when this came on. What is this ancient seven-hilled city? And it's Rome. So how do you put this together? Rome has always been the capital of the Antichrist. Period. It's an office. It will be in the future. This 17 goes to the 10 nations in the future that will destroy again. They'll take down it. They're going to war in the future. So past, present, and future, the seven-hilled is the headquarters of the abominable church. You can't get around that. There's no other way to look at it. All right? And we have it in this one. It says there's seven governments over the type of history. And they talk about one is, that was Rome, right? That was the Roman Empire that is. And he must go for a while. And then this ten nation will destroy it. And the Pope or the Papal Rome was of the seven, and he is the eighth. Real stuff. You know, this, nobody's going to disagree. I have Daniel 7 there. They're not going to disagree with any of those kingdoms, right? The same with Daniel 2. The legs are Rome. And down here it talks about this other one. But nobody's going to disagree on these things. So you have good ammunition here. So here's some commentaries, and I'm not going to read every one of these. But the seven hills, heads, are the seven mountains, referring undoubtedly to Rome. And I'm not going to read all these because it's just history. All right? That's where the headquarters of the Antichrist was, is, and will be. Period. So don't look for a Muslim. That's what some would have us believe. You know, it's not us. It's not us. It's going to be a Muslim. It's headquarters in Rome, period. All right. Says, sit in the temple of God, showing himself as God. There is no more sacred thing out there than the blood of Christ. He's the one that forgives sins, period. What the Catholic Church has done is removed him, and now they're the ones that forgive sins. They've taken the place of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but when you go to purgatory, it isn't Jesus Christ, they say, that brings them out of purgatory. It's the Catholic Church. They have authority. They've taken over the most sacred thing. So when it says he's sitting in the temple of God, showing himself as God, they took over that responsibility. And restoration person, every Protestant through those years would not disagree with that. They're all in harmony. And here's a few names. I'll give you 100. Starting with 1310. They all believe this. All the scriptures, you know. The 17th, the 13th, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, they all were in agreement. Here's a few more. Here's a few more over the hundreds of years. Here's a few more. Don't blink. You can go to that website. But that just covers to the 1800. There's far more now, right? Continues on. But they're pushing away from that. And we'll get into why. Okay? Drunken with the blood of the saints, it also says there, right? Drunken with the blood of the saints. Tortured the Spanish Inquisition. According to some modern estimates, around 150,000 people were persecuted for various offenses during the 3-century duration of the Spanish Inquisition. They ruled more than that, and it was far greater over the years than 150,000, of whom about 3,000 to 5,000 were executed. Some admitted their sins. And this article will say, well, only 3 to 3.5% were actually killed. Most confessed. Anybody opposed the Catholic Church in those years were put upon the racks. I've seen this one in a museum. And there's museums popped up all over Europe on the tortures during the Roman Catholic years. This one's famous for the Catholic tortures. That one here, you can extract tongues, crush noses, pierce ears. That's hot oil. Isn't that a nice touch? They've got a cross on the top of that one. That makes it okay. Wear out the saints, as it said in that one. It says wear out Daniel 7 and Thessalonians agree. They killed the saints. Why has it that we have the Antichrist interpretations, not only Thessalonians but other ones? Why is it they're changing nowadays? What makes them change? Now the interpretation is, everything's future, this Antichrist, you know. They sometimes will still talk about it. This 113th Pope, they're talking about, yeah, it might be him, but it's a future thing. Why wasn't it the office? Why don't they give us that anymore? First Nephi 3:20, and he saith unto me, behold, there are save two churches only. One is the church of the Lamb, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not to the church of the Lamb belongeth to the great church, which is the mother of abomination. So, more scriptures in the Book of Mormon also support the same view, the abominable church. And my mother, I remember she gave, she told my grandmother, she belonged to the Baptist church. And she told my grandmother, you know, someday you'll be joining, maybe not the name, but you'll be joining the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Very offensive, right? My grandmother said, that will never happen. Before my grandmother died, she says, yeah, I can see it coming. I can see it coming. And like it or not, sometimes the populations of the churches don't even know what happened. Don't even know. World Council of Churches, you might have heard that name before, the National Council of Churches. Their aim in this thing, their only aim, is to have unity. It started off unity with the Protestants, so we could accept ministers, and they were completely successful in this. You can go from one congregation to another. Heck, I've been offered to preach at one of the Protestants. You do not have to have their license if you anymore to preach in their churches. It's across the board. The World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches have absolutely united the Protestants into the most precious things. They may have a few doctrines that are different, but they will respect each other's baptism. They will respect each other's sacraments. You've joined. When that happens, you've joined. And now there's one step closer. Now the next movement is to have unity with the Catholic Church. And he's speaking to the congregations out there that are non-Catholic right there, the World Council of Churches. Has he had success? 1999, the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church signed an agreement that brought an end to the protest. They're no longer protesting. They accept each other's authority. 2006, the Methodist Council. I remember in 2017, the Reformed Churches signed a Declaration of Joint Unification. They've agreed to share each other's common sacraments. There's no longer protest for these groups. And you can see the Methodists, the Restorations, and the Lutherans made up of half of the Protestants in just those years, right? We have some non-denominationals. How do you join that? You know, there's no body, if you will, that speaks for them. But it's all going the way that the joint unit, you know, if they belong to the World Council of Churches, you can guarantee the World Council of Churches are going to join this thing. We're not done. 2017, the Anglican, major, 70 million, signed this reconciliation, if you will. In 2023 was the last of Pentecostal charismatic movement. They wanted to talk about sharing each other's sacraments. That's soon to come. And I thought that the last one there, the Baptist, I had some reservations whether they would do this, and that's what my grandmother was seeing. That was the third phase that they're into right now. These are the signed documents out of the Presbyterian, Reformed Church, Presbyterian, Reformed, and Christian. Okay. So these are some of the things they're sharing. The validity of baptism and the sacraments, of course, sacrament of baptism. All right, the Lutherans signed that what they signed to. This is the Baptist in December, we've had December, so two and a half years ago, this was the most recent Pope, and half of those are of Catholics and half of them are the Baptists. They'll be signing something soon. All right, so we talked about how this would be, that they should join up. All right, that's why you're seeing these views on like 2 Thessalonians. That's why you're seeing Daniel, the ninth chapter, looking for this future thing that would happen. It's all future. You know, they might agree now that, well, maybe a future pope might be the Antichrist. But they're forgetting, or I shouldn't say, they're not talking about it. The Protestants can't talk about it. If you're going to say, it's just like this letter they're talking about, Malachi, prophecy that's coming forth. You can't say that, yes, oh yeah, we belong to a church and the leader, the Bishop of Rome, yeah, he's the Antichrist. You can't have that. You can't join the Catholic Church and say we're fine honoring their ministry and still go on preaching what Thessalonians is talking about, what Daniel 2 is talking about, what Daniel 7 is talking about, what the Revelation, right? 12, 13, 17. You can't talk about what those things are and what they meant if you're joining them. And you're going to see a turning against this Malachi. As soon as there's somebody elected, you're not going to see any more of this talk about it. It'd be the most extreme people out there talking about what this Malachi prophecy said, that this one's going to be the Antichrist. You can't be in an organization that believes that. It's going to go away. I guarantee it. Just like 2 Thessalonians. Nobody's talking about any of these scriptures anymore about what it meant. Because it's all got to be future, because they can't be in the church of the Antichrist, can they not? And I'm not going to go over this today because I don't have time, but you know, it's another 35 slides probably. And it's a lot of pictures and everything, but I'm not going to. I didn't think I'd have time, so I didn't. But this kingdom here, you can see, nobody disagrees. The head is Babylon. Medo-Persia was the next kingdom that ruled the world. Greece was the next one. And then Rome came after that. And we'll talk more about that in the future, about 476. Some use 476. Some use 570 AD. All right, and I'll get into, I got beautiful color maps, and we did this study for the ministry, and it talks about why. But the same kingdoms are on the right there for Daniel 7. All right, same exact ones. Nobody disagrees with this, even to this day. The 10 toes or the 10 horns in Daniel 7 are Europe. It's always Europe. They might disagree on which nations it is, depending if you go with the 570 date or the 476, you'll have a different 10 kingdoms, but all say this is Europe, right? And then after this, after those European nations, after they destroyed Rome, a little horn comes up, right? Out of those 10 kings, out of Europe. And he was to rule the world for 1260 years. This is easy. Nobody disagreed with it until recently. Nobody. Hey, well, the Catholic Church might, but no scholar out there. Hundreds of names. They all are agreement. All right? So I might get into that next week or the next time I preach. But it's nice color maps. You'll have something you can take. I'll send this sermon out, whoever wants it, and give you some documentation, because it has hundreds of scholars and what they feel and how they viewed this in the Church of Christ a couple of thousand years ago. All right? All right. That's all I had today. Brother?